Poptail Weekly, and it is a cat-free Poptail Weekly. Today we're playing Iron Falcon, Shadows of the Past, and this is an interesting one. I do want to thank, I'm horrible with names. I think it was Bill. Bill actually pointed out to me that in Bluebeard's Bride, we were missing some commands. There was a use and a look. The problem was that the game didn't tell us that, so I apologize that I did not know that. Apparently, Bill beat the game, was able to get through it, so I apologize that we did not. But, you know, those things happen. You have those issues where you play a game and you don't get the information that you need. So again, apologies to the makers of Bluebeard's Bride, but I was not aware of those things. So that's okay. Not a problem. Today we're playing Iron Falcon. Author, Chris Warman. Voice actor, Matthew Mercer. So very well-known critical role. Dungeon Master has been in a lot of various projects. Just very prolific voice actor. Playtime, 70 to 90 minutes. Age, 14 plus. Well, I think I'm old enough. The years of peace are over. Shocking news is pouring in from the borderlands of the kingdom of Rivan. An old enemy, Morgul, has regained strength, shattering the alliance with the mysterious order. A hero is needed. A hero who will get to the bottom of things and report back to the king. Who will undertake such a dangerous mission? Why, you! Welcome to the tranquil village of Stoneville, home to a monastery of the mysterious order and currently severely troubled by bandits, or at least that's how it appears. But it is soon revealed that things are not as they seem. For some answers, one has to look far into the past. That's how your long, adventurous, and at times hilarious journey begins. You'll meet friends and foes, solve puzzles, fight courageous battles, and discover secrets from times past. It surely will be a challenging adventure for a lone hero. Fortunately, you won't be going alone on this adventure. You'll have a loyal companion at your side, one who will guide your decisions and help you through difficult times. You'll undoubtedly love her, or maybe not. She might just drive you crazy. So, this is a interactive audio story. So, hopefully we can get through it. It apparently contains multiple endings and several choices. So, hey, Ben, how's it going? So, Benjamin is tuned in from VoiceSpark Live, which we are actually streaming to this week or this evening, this weekend. We're streaming on VoiceSpark Live. It's our first time over here. So very cool. Hey, Liren, how's it going? Iron Falcon is excellent. So Benjamin says that it's good. You know what? I trust Ben. No TTS? No, YouTube does not support TTS in chat reading. I don't do that. For a number of reasons. So we're going to get rolling here. So this is Iron Falcon. Like I said, Matthew Mercer. You can't really go wrong with stuff that he's in. We'll see how this goes. So as always, we invoke our skill with our wake word and the name of the skill. Ziggy, open Iron Falcon.
I found a few skills that might help. Uh-oh. Did you mean Iron Country?
No.
Okay, how about Iron Man facts?
No.
Okay, how about Iron Jungle fact?
No.
I also found Iron Man facts. Do you want that one?
No.
I'm sorry, that's all I have for now. You can try rephrasing, or you can search for more skills in the skills section of your Alexa app.
Alexa, launch Iron Falcon. Oh, sorry. Ziggy, launch Iron Falcon.
I found a few skills that might help. Did you mean Iron Country?
Ziggy, cancel.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to enable the skill, and I'm going to see if that... So sometimes I usually find that you don't need to enable a skill. But if you have something that is very similarly, you know, let's see. Okay, so I've enabled it. So let's try it now. Ziggy, open Iron Falcon.
You now start with Iron Falcon. Have fun.
Dim light, stale smoke. Those memories you were actually hoping to drown in wine, they only intensify with each glass. The images keep flashing before your eyes. Scenes of fire, raining down on the caravanserai. Sounds of slaughter. The shrill war cry of the invaders as they poured through the breached wall into the forecourt. A touch on your shoulder tears you from your thoughts. It's the host. He carefully takes the cup from your hand.
Bedtime, Sodak, he grumbles good-naturedly. You'll get another chance to drink yourself to death tomorrow.
Groaning, you stand up and stagger out of the black unicorn. The cool harbor breeze rouses you. You look up, and as you do, you notice three figures stepping into the alley ahead. Unkempt, stumpy men dressed in rags for jackets. They're your garden-variety street trash. Best to steer clear at night, especially considering how drunk you are.
Do yourself a favor and don't fight back,
their scar-faced leader orders you as he takes a step closer. Do you want to attack, run away, or insult him?
Insult him.
You casually mention a wild night out in the woods, including his mother and a lot of wine. The scarred face darkens.
He was nothing personal, Sardak, he hisses through clenched teeth. But this changes things.
The next moment you feel a violent blow to the back of your head. Through the grayness closing in, you see a scarred man bending over you. His grim face burns into your memory, as do his words.
Hit him again, Norok! I owe it to my mother.
You feel a second blow as the world around you sinks into blackness. You regain consciousness, open your eyes, and realize that you are in a dungeon cell. You sit with your back against a cold wall. The room is lit by pale light, falling from a window above. To your right, there is a heavy wooden door. Do you want to get up immediately or look around first?
Look around first.
Your skull is still pounding. There is a knot growing in the back of your head. You can feel it. The painful memory of your attackers and the scarred man's words. Hambra might be a big city, but it's not big enough to hide in forever. But what does it all mean? As you search your mind for an answer, you catch sight of a rat scurrying along the wall. It pauses, stands on its hind legs, turns, and vanishes. The rat has the right idea. You should probably vanish too. Newly energized, you get to your feet. Before you can hunt the rats down who put you in here, you have to get free of this cell. But where did this rat here disappear to? Maybe you should start there and look for a hidden rat hole. Do you want to search for an escape, or wait for whatever comes next?
Search for an escape.
Where should you look? The door, the window, or the walls? Or would you prefer just to wait?
The window.
The window is
high
above you.
So the audio is
you jump
kind
up
of
and cling to the bars.
It has to do
they are
with
too deeply anchored, impossible to loosen. You pull yourself further up
Alexa
and are able to see
things.
Outside.
Sorry.
Below you, you recognize the spread of houses and huts of Hamra.
This is pretty well
narrated.
You are
able to infer that you are being held in the high castle. Smoke rises from chimneys into the morning sky. In the distance, the Donar meanders past the fields and meadows in front of the city. Its water shines silver in the rising sun.
Also, I would suggest...
You notice one of the bricks on the outer wall of the window is loose when it wobbles.
Sorry. Ooh.
Do you want to lower yourself down to the cell floor again, or try to break the stone free?
Try to break the stone free.
You break a nail, graze your hand, and hit your elbow several times. But somehow, with a lot of skill and even more strength, you succeed in loosening the stone from the masonry.
That is cool.
Only to find out that it is too wide to fit through the bars.
Oh.
Angrily, you push the stone over the windowsill. A moment later, a muffled sound is heard, followed by a groan. And another muffled noise and a loud metal rattling. Whatever it was just below the wall and out of sight. Looks like the window is a dead end. You let go and drop to the cell floor. Where should you look? The door, the window, or the walls? Or would you prefer just to wait?
The walls.
You carefully examine the walls, knocking your knuckles against the cold stone in search of cavities. You push and shove. Nothing. You're on the verge of giving up hope when you notice two small grooves alongside each other in one of the joints. You press both of them at the same time, and a soft grinding noise sounds from the wall to your right.
Ooh.
You turn to find a piece of the massive wall. It is rising a little and opens a narrow passage just big enough for you to squeeze your way through. A secret passage. This could be your way to freedom. Ready to find out what lies in the secret passage?
Yes.
You squeeze yourself into the narrow passage. It's so low that you have to switch to all fours. You only get a few meters in when one of the stone slabs under you begins giving way.
Uh-oh.
You try to stop it in time, but it's too late. One click. One loud click. Then a familiar grinding noise starts up. The cell wall behind you is closing. You try to reset the trigger unsuccessfully, then it's over. The wall behind you seals shut, leaving you in the dark without options. The only way to go is to go forward. Onward through the pitch darkness, you grope and claw your way until you hit a dead end. This can't be all there is. You search the walls for something, anything. Further down the corridor, a reddish light suddenly shines up from below. The wall in front of you draws upward, slowly and silently unveiling a heavy red curtain. You move the curtain carefully to the side to reveal the face of a white-haired old man dressed in a plain gray robe. You can feel wisdom and kindness radiating from his brown eyes, as well as steel and strength.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Arendil. I am the king's advisor in all matters of internal security.
This he states with an even voice.
I must congratulate you on your escape. Although, just a side note, I must tell you that you never really had a chance of success. Before I explain, we need to clear up a few more important things.
The man draws the curtain back fully so that you can now see a sinister-looking sentry standing next to him.
Uh-oh.
You are accused of a grave crime which you must now answer for to the king. Do you know what you are charged with?
No.
You shake your head.
No, I have no idea why they attacked me and put me in here. But I would be grateful for an explanation.
Arendil nods.
The caravanserai in Armac was attacked, and there was a terrible massacre. It is now being said that one of the guards betrayed the merchants. The description matches you pretty dead on, and that raises questions. Time for some answers.
He gestures for you to follow him to a side door at the back of the room. There he busies himself with the key. You follow him, confused. You can feel the guard's eyes on you at all times. The fact that his hand hasn't left his sword is not lost on you. A clear warning that you should stay submissive to your destiny. If your secret passage jailbreak was a surprise to these guys, they aren't showing any signs.
Before it comes to further misunderstandings, one last question.
Arendil turns to you as he unlocks the door.
Are you familiar with the etiquette at the royal court?
No.
Of course not, sighs Arendil. That explains so much. Stay next to me and follow my lead. That's the best advice I can give you.
Wait, is Arendil smiling? He is. You see the hint of amusement in his features as he steps through the door. You follow him into the next room, then stop immediately. Even you are with awe at the sight that awaits you. A throne room. Decorated with golden carpets, opulent vases, and magnificent paintings from the king's ancestral gallery. Only a few feet away from you, surrounded by his guards and advisers, King Barnes stares at you from his throne.
Quick, kneel,
Arendil whispers to you. Do you want to kneel down or stay standing?
Kneel.
You obediently and humbly bow your head. Arendil nods, and you wait in silent tension to see what comes next.
Is this the man?
The king's question echoes through the hall. Barnes is a good 50 years old, and wears a noble red robe under which a clear belly can be seen. The famous Rivian crown rests on his graying hair.
Rivian. Let him come forward.
You rise and approach the throne. Arendil stops you just before you reach the throne. He bows, approaches the king, and whispers something to him. The hall falls into dead silence. The king looks at you. Then he breaks into a smile.
The way you have been brought here may seem a bit unorthodox, Sardak, but there are good reasons for our methods. Arendil says that you have proven to be wise and resourceful. That's good, because you will need both for the task at hand. We know you're not responsible for the attack on the caravanserai. Your arrest was only a test, but it serves another purpose. Before I explain,
the king continues mysteriously,
were you aware that we are at war again?
No.
I figured you didn't. Our ministers are doing all that they can to keep up the appearance of peace.
King Barnes beckons you over. As you approach him, he stares at the knot on your head, briefly irritated.
Remind me that we need to rethink our test phase, he says to his counselor, who nods in embarrassed silence. Please forgive me, Sardak, King Barnes says to you. Where was I? Oh, yes, the war. The kingdom of Morgul in the north has regained its strength and throws its dark shadow on our kingdom. Nobody knows how bad it really is. More and more agents are simply missing. Arendil?
We can't even say for sure exactly how this keeps happening. We fear our agents have been compromised, the counselor explains. Therefore, we need a new agent who we can send to the borderlands. This agent must be able to overcome unforeseen difficulties. He needs an alert mind, hardiness, and determination. His mission will be dangerous, but success could be crucial to the Empire's survival. Are you following all of this?
Yes.
Arendil laughs. Your sharpened perception is one of the reasons you have been chosen.
We know you're not responsible for the attack on the caravanserai, but we didn't arrest you just to test your escaping skills. Following this meeting, it will be officially announced that you have not been sentenced to death for lack of evidence, but have been banished from the city. This will explain your journey to Stoneville. We have information that the caravanserai is linked to a band of robbers operating near this border town.
Ooh.
Find out why they did it. We suspect that one of Morgul's pawns is in play here, but that's just a suspicion. And there is one other thing.
Arendil hesitates. He gives King Barnes a questioning look, which the king answers with a silent nod.
The Order maintains a monastery not far from Stoneville. We would like you to gain access to it, and tell us about its activities. As I said, we are at war. We need to know who is on our side and who is not. Do you have any questions about your mission?
No.
All right. There isn't much that we could have told you anyway. Oh, wait, that's not all. We have something else for you.
Uh-oh.
King Barnes rises from his throne at these words, silencing the excited whispering of those present in the hall. He directs his attention at something in the back of the hall, behind the guards and advisers. He passes you on his way to a pedestal covered by a large black cloth.
We are aware that we are sending you on a dangerous mission, but you will not be without protection.
Cool, sword.
Dramatically, the king pulls the cloth aside, inviting an impressed murmur that rolls through the crowd. He gives you a glimpse of a collection of magnificent weapons.
Yeah.
The sword, Worry Blade. The axe, Shieldbreaker. And the bow of marksmanship. The weapons come from the royal armory, and are made true masters of the trade. Choose one of them, he says. Which weapon do you choose? The sword, the axe, or the bow?
The bow.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Try it again.
The bow?
Oh my God. It's me. Your voice assistant.
Oh.
And I cannot believe that you... I mean, the bow? Really? That's what you are going with. This is a joke, right?
Yes.
Thank God. For a moment, I thought you were serious. All right, then, what do we take? The sword or the axe?
The sword.
Wow. Just wow. A warrior with a sword. Really, I don't mean that ironically.
Your mind made up, you mount the pedestal and take a step closer to your destiny. You wrap your fingers around the cold grip of the sword and you notice how perfectly the weapon fits in your hand.
I love the game.
The king nods at you approvingly, then turns to Arendil. You see, I was right. I knew he would take the sword. The advisor only rolls his eyes. Suddenly, just behind the pedestal, you notice a huge boulder. And there, protruding from the boulder's center, unlike anything you have ever seen before, a sword. You can hardly imagine the strength it would have taken to drive the blade through the rock. An uncanny fascination comes from it, almost as if it were calling you.
The Sword of Kings. It is said that nobody is able to pull it out of the stone.
Would you like to try to pull the sword out of the rock?
Yes.
The throne room falls into eerie silence as you make your inspired approach to the rock. The guards gape at you, mouths hanging open. The advisors and servants watch wide-eyed. King Barnes and Arendil step back out of something like deep reverence. They stop as if frozen. You put your weapon away, grab the sword with both hands, press your feet against the millennia-old stone, and, with all your strength, begin to pull. Nothing happens. The sword sunk in the rock doesn't even move a breath.
Oh.
Relieved and out of breath, you let go of the sword's grip.
By the gods, what is this man doing? You hear King Barnes behind you. I just told him that nobody could pull it out of the stone.
I don't get it either. He made it really clear.
The crowd watches, embarrassed for you.
Perhaps it is time for you to leave now, Sardak. There's a ship in the harbor that'll take you north, the king notes. Would you like the captain of the guard to accompany you to the docks?
Yes.
Summon Captain Jogomir, the king commands his court.
Visibly embarrassed, one of the advisors steps up to King Barnes and whispers something into his ear.
What do you mean he was killed by a falling stone in front of the prison walls? Roars the king angrily.
Oops.
Search the castle immediately. The perpetrator must be somewhere nearby.
The guards charge out of the throne room. The king returns his attention to you.
Just a hint. Better not to say anything. I don't want to have to restart the skill.
You look down, ashamed.
Probably an agent of Morgul, hisses the king. Now you see how serious the situation is.
Oh,
I wish you luck on your mission, Sardak. The destiny of the kingdom is in your hands. Don't forget that.
The king speaks solemnly with half-extended arms. He is looking at you as if he expects something.
I think you remind him of his dead son. Just hug him. Maybe he'll at least give us a horse then.
Would you like to bow before the king or hug him?
Bow.
You bow, and the king waves benevolently for you to take your leave. You make your way to the harbor. As you pass through the market, you hear two women talking.
And then he tried to pull the sword out of the stone. Yeah, but why? Everyone knows that's impossible.
You try to disappear inside your hood and move along quickly. An old barge waits for you at the harbor. An old man and two young sailors watch curiously from the barge.
I love it.
Before we leave, have you ever wondered why you of all people were sent on this mission?
Yes.
So do I. Part of my answer has to do with dispensability. Maybe you didn't want to know that.
You board with mixed feelings. Old planks creak under your feet.
The ship's hull groans alarmingly as ropes are loosened and the barge casts off from the docks. Chaotic hustle and bustle rules the deck. The old man, who introduces himself to you as Captain Snore, takes his place at the helm. His two sons guide the ship out of the harbor with poles, then set the sail. Powered by the unyielding force of the River Donar, the ship heads north. Settlements disappear on the shores behind you and are replaced by forests and meadows. Gulls accompany your ship. Occasionally you see a small swarm of fish pass the hull. The trip to Stoneville will take a few days, but Snore and his sons know the river well and sail it until dusk. The nights are spent on land and are uneventful. Everything is fine, at least until the fourth day.
Uh-oh.
When red sails are spotted behind you.
Uh-oh.
Pirates! Snore curses. Great, just what we needed.
Do you want to get ready for a fight or help escape?
Get ready for a fight?
You spread your feet to steady yourself in the ship's stern, then draw your sword, Worry Blade. You are Sardak, and this is your destiny.
With the sword, huh? Yeah. It's a fantasy story. But even here, you can't just do everything you want.
After some time, the ship comes to a fork in the river, and Snore steers the boat into the right fork, where the current drops off into a pathetically weak pulse. You are forced to watch as the pirate ship closes in at full speed.
Oh, geez.
Masked figures scurry back and forth on the enemy deck. Suddenly, an arrow flies past your ear. An archer has started shooting you. You get a sick sense of deja vu. This is like the Caravanserai massacre all over again. You take cover behind the railing. All you can see from there of the pirate ship is the tip of its ram.
Hang on!
The captain's panicked cry is cut off by the loud cracking sound of wood splintering. Something hits your head. You fall overboard. The last thing you see is the surface of the Danube from below.
Uh-oh.
Then the world goes black.
Are you okay?
No.
Me neither, but nobody asked me. No, leave me alone. Now you don't need to ask me anymore.
Are you okay?
As long as the world keeps revolving around you, everything will work out great.
You open your eyes. You are alive, washed up somewhere. The current must have driven you down river and spat you out here. You notice your weapon. You manage to hold on to it. That's something, at least. Since everything else, including the barge and pirate ship, is gone. Exhausted, you begin making your way north, following the river. A few days later, you arrive back at the river's tributary. A little further along the way, you come to a hunter's hut. There you find some dry rations, a quiver, and some arrows. You light a fire and sleep on a camp of skins. For the first time in ages, you wake strengthened and rested the next morning. Onward, further and further north you go, until you come to a road. Over the next hills, a single plume of smoke rises into the blue sky. In the background, a majestic mountain range rises into the clouds. That must be Stoneville. Suddenly, you hear cries for help from the river behind you. Do you want to go on to Stoneville or run to the river?
Run to the river.
You wrestle with the thick undergrowth to get to the shore. From here you can see a man in the water. He is splashing some distance away, obviously caught by the current and in danger of drowning. You only have seconds before the current carries him away. You must decide now if and how you should help him. Do you want to swim to him, throw him a branch, or do nothing?
Throw him a branch.
You hectically search your surroundings. There, a broken tree branch, a heavy one. It takes all of your might to toss it into the river to the man. The branch lands right in front of the man in the water, and he succeeds in clinging to it. He doesn't seem to have sufficient strength to swim to the shore, but at least he stays above the surface. You feel sure that once he reaches a quieter part of the river, he will be able to save himself.
Shall I tell you a secret?
Yes.
That was a spy for the robbers.
Oh.
But we won't be seeing him again, probably.
Lost in thought, you continue on your way to Stoneville. The settlement impresses you as quiet and almost sleepy. There should be hundreds of people living here and working the fields, fishing and trading with passing ships. Before entering the settlement, you come to a farmhouse. The farmer there introduces himself to you as Fridal. What would you like to ask the farmer about? The robbers, the order, or the settlement?
The robbers.
Fridal looks around uncertainly.
I don't know what you're talking about. There is no band of robbers here, and if there was, I wouldn't be talking about it with you, because if I did, you can be sure it would be the last thing I ever talk about.
He turns back to his fieldwork. Do you accept his answer, or would you like to question him further?
Accept his answer.
What would you like to ask the farmer about? The robbers, the order, or the settlement?
The settlement.
Well, what can I say? Stoneville's a really small place. We got stones and a river, not much more. Over there is the hostel, that house with the big sign. You can get a bed and a beer in the evenings. Of course, nobody will be there right now. Marcus, the host, is in the fields and won't be back until later. If you want to sweeten the way, you can visit Ciari. She'll take care of you for a few hours. She can do a lot of things. Unfortunately, none of those are really great.
Oh!
And there's Karanor, our local settlement druid. The time in the forest hasn't exactly been kind to him. He's become, well, let's say, eccentric over the years.
Where would you like to go? To the young maiden? Or the eccentric druid? Or would you like to ask Fridal something else?
The young maiden.
Ciari's little cottage sits on the edge of Stoneville. Behind it, a dense row of trees cast shadows that look like reaching claws to you. You're about to knock on the front door as you hear voices from the inside.
No, I certainly won't come with you, a woman's voice cries out indignantly. If he wants to see me, he can come here.
A deep male voice sounds, but you can't make out what is being said. Then a shrill cry from the woman.
Stop it! You're hurting me!
You want to storm into the house? Sneak in, or just wait.
Sneak in.
The door is locked. Would you like to storm the house, or wait?
Storm the house.
With a powerful kick, you smash the door in and storm the house. You find a young red-haired woman in a black dress trying to defend herself against a vile-looking villain. When he sees you, he lets go of the girl.
You like to play hero, don't you, stranger? All right, let's see what you've got.
With these words, he draws his sword. Wordlessly, you meet his stare and pull your sword anyway.
Damn, you got a sword too!
Your opponent curses, then he attacks you. This is by no means his first fight, and he is more than skilled enough to fight you. It doesn't take too long for him to get you on the defensive, but just before he is able to strike a heavy blow, the girl hits him on the head from behind with a cast-iron pan.
Bung.
The man staggers, and you finish him off with your sword. In that moment, figures in wide brown robes descend upon the house. They see you standing over the corpse and stop.
It's all good, Kian,
Ciari calls to her leader, a young man with a shaved head. He steps in front of you while one of the other men protects the girl with a coat.
Your name is Sardak, isn't it?
Kian speaks to you.
Yes.
I bet you are wondering how he knows that. I, on the other hand, am wondering how these monks came to know this chick at all.
Ciari unexpectedly throws her arms around your neck before Kian can reply.
Thank you for saving my life, beautiful stranger.
When she breathes a kiss on your cheek, she whispers to you.
Grainer will want to take revenge on you. If you fight against him and he swings from above, then it is only a feint. That's your chance. Act fast when he raises his sword.
She really doesn't look that good now. Besides, she doesn't have as many skills as I do.
I must ask you to follow me to the monastery, Kian urges you. It is important. Delay will not be tolerated.
Without another word, Kian turns away. This entire encounter has you baffled, but you decide to follow him.
Don't you actually wish that an awesome, loving, funny woman would enter this story?
No.
That's what I wanted to tell you. I would have made a scene for you otherwise.
The path leaving Stoneville takes you through fields and meadows, meanders past a stream, through a small forest, and up a gently rising hill. On the hilltop, you can see the walls of a monastery from a distance. A stone tower rises behind the ramparts, and a large double-winged gate leads into the interior of the complex. When you reach the gate, another monk suddenly steps out of the shadows. His flowing gray beard reaches to his belly, which is already beginning to show under his brown robe. The gaze of his deep blue eyes speaks of kindness and mildness.
I welcome you to the Order, Sardak, he greets you solemnly.
You must have many questions. I can start by answering one of them. My name is Aureus. I am the director of this monastery, and I am the one who sent Brother Keon to find you and bring you to me. You are probably wondering how and why I know your name, aren't you?
Yes.
Aureus smiles at you mildly. Curiosity can be a strength, but also a weakness.
I wonder if he did make us come all the way here, just to say that. Would you please ask him that?
Did you make us come all the way here to say that?
Aureus looks at you apologetically. We know why King Barnes sent you to Stoneville. Our agent in the royal court has kept us informed of your movement from the start. To be honest about your mission, or rather missions, Aureus winks conspiratorially at you, both of them were initiated by us. The Kingdom of Rivan and the Kingdom of Morgul had been at war for centuries. Once the Order was on Rivan's side, but things have changed since the Battle of the Rocky Sea. We are withdrawn from this power struggle. The exact reasons for this are reserved for the members of the High Council. I'm not at liberty to tell you. But you can trust us to act for the good of all. We are the servants of light and the keepers of knowledge. We do not strive to rule, but to serve. And sometimes that means accepting what one cannot understand. Say, do you remember the merchant Lamanor who was with you at the caravanserai in Armac?
No.
That speaks for his talent to remain inconspicuous. Lamanor was one of our agents, one of our best. He was hired years ago to look for an artifact of great power and importance that has been lost for centuries. A few months ago, we received a message from him that he had found what he was looking for. Either he had finally found a trail, or, which we didn't dare hope, even the artifact itself. Under the protection of the caravan, Lamanor was to travel to our order. But, as you know, things did not go as planned. The caravanserai was attacked, and all life was exterminated, including Lamanor. That was no coincidence, but betrayal.
You see how Aureus's eyes darken with these words.
About 2 years ago, Granor, one of our most promising talents, joined the local band of robbers. Or rather, he took them over. It was also he who ordered the attack on the caravanserai. Now he's preparing to leave this area. He must be stopped, and quickly, before he can leave. Will you help us?
Yes.
Thank you for your trust, Sardak.
Aureus puts a hand on your shoulder.
We are only scholars and peaceful monks here. You are our only chance.
The master of the order bends down on one knee and begins to draw a sketch in the dust.
Deep in the woods, you'll find the robber's cave. Its countless corridors form a deadly labyrinth.
Oh boy.
We don't know the exact way into the heart of the maze, but one of our brothers has had experience with these caves. Wisdom even Granor doesn't have. If you can persuade Brother Korax, he might be able to help you. Be warned, he is not keen to talk about it, and the chances of success are low, but it's worth a try. If not, you are on your own.
When Aureus rises again, his features set in determination.
Sardak, as a member of the Holy Council, I hereby appoint you Warrior Adept of the Order. Are you ready to receive your true name, the name by which you will bring terror and destruction to the enemies of the Order, the name with which you will write your history?
Yes.
Your name is...
Lone Wolf? That would be so awesome.
Iron Falcon.
Nope.
Well, the good names were probably all gone already.
When you return, we will begin your initiation. You will receive the true history of this world and the knowledge that is hidden from most people. The knowledge of a senseless war between two kingdoms and a much darker threat from the shadows. But time is pressing. You must leave immediately. Now go! The hope of all mankind rests on you, Iron Falcon.
Would you like to visit Brother Korax, or try to navigate the maze alone?
Visit Brother Korax.
Keon takes you to the garden of the monastery, where he points to an old man who is weeding. The man moves slowly, almost as if every effort causes him pain. This is Brother Korax, Keon explains. He used to be a good hunter, but his wanderings led him into the caves one time too many. Whatever he may have found there changed him. He hasn't been the same since. No one has been able to get him to talk about his time in the caves. You will only have one chance. I wish you good luck, Iron Falcon. You go to the old man, who looks at you curiously.
I need your help, Brother Korax, you begin hesitantly. I must go into the labyrinth.
Then please leave now, answers the old man. The less I know about you, the easier it will be for me to mourn you.
Do you want to ask Korax nicely, or threaten him?
Ask Korax nicely.
You must help me, Brother Korax. Without you, I will never find the way in time to stop Granor.
Korax's face distorts in fear.
You do not know what you are asking of me. My soul is scarred by those memories even today. Inside those caves, there is only insanity. I made it out of that abysmal darkness that stretched to the center of the world. I had been wandering for days. I was fortunate once. I know I would not make it out alive a second time. Even returning to the memory of the cave is almost more pain than I can handle.
It's no use. Just knock him down. Then we'll take him with us.
Save your words, Korax says, flailing his arms wildly. Nothing and nobody can make me go back there.
Do you want to keep trying to persuade Korax, or just knock him down?
Keep trying to persuade Korax.
You try to ask, threaten, and flatter, but in vain. With typical monk-like stubbornness, Brother Korax refuses to tell you anything about the caves, let alone accompany you. Finally, you give up resignedly and leave without him. It takes you several hours to finally reach the place Aureus spoke of. It's almost dark, but there, where the forest rises up along the ridge, you actually discover a cave entrance hidden in the undergrowth.
I have a confession to make. You are not my first player. Please don't ask me how many there were before you.
Nope.
But only so much. I know the labyrinth by heart now. And it's really hard. The writer of this senseless story must really hate people. So, if you want to take a shortcut now, say shortcut. If not, say labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
You are standing in the first room of the labyrinth. Two corridors lead from here to the east and west. Where do you want to go?
East.
One corridor leads west, another south. Where do you want to go?
South.
Old bones lie in this area. Four courses lead to the north, south, east, and west. Where do you want to go?
East.
Three corridors lead north, south, and west. Where do you want to go?
North.
This way ends in a dead end. You go back to the last junction. Three corridors lead north, south, and west. Where do you want to go?
South.
A room with an old fireplace. Two corridors lead north and south. Where do you want to go?
South.
Two corridors lead north and west. Where do you want to go?
West.
Three corridors lead to the east, west, and south.
Oh, God.
Where do you want to go?
South.
As you follow the aisle for a while, you notice yourself moving away from the original tangled roots. You have left the labyrinth behind you and are on your way to the heart.
Oh, we're out of the labyrinth. I'm sorry. I wasn't really paying attention.
The path leads you into a cave, which is illuminated by several torches on the walls. On the side there are boxes and barrels. Next to them are roughly carved tables and benches. Lifeless bodies are slumped over the tables. You approach carefully, but notice these people are all dead. You can see no traces of a fight. Instead, it looks as if they were sharing a meal together. Bread, cheese, and cold roast are on the table, plus a few cups of wine with a particularly sweet smell. You go deeper into the cave, past niches with heaps of straw and dirty blankets, until the passage ends in front of a wooden door. It is half open, almost as if you were expected. You resolutely step into the room behind it.
Dun, dun,
from
dun.
The shadows, the voice of a man echoes to you.
You have poisoned my men. Have you come here to kill me, too?
What do you want to answer? That you have not poisoned the men, or that you want to kill him?
I have not poisoned the men.
Lies and lies and lies, the voice emits a bitter laugh. Once upon a time I could see the light. Today I only see the shadows it cast.
From the back of the room, a tall, noble-looking man with long black hair comes forward. Powerful muscles arch under the leather armor. A fearsome blade in his right hand rests casually on his shoulder.
Grainer. Wow. He's still outrageously handsome.
My way has led me too far to be able to turn back now. And if words do not help, then let the weapons speak for us.
Ranor grabs the sword with both hands.
Hey, I remember this guy.
Allow me just one last question before I kill you. Who are you, anyway?
The Diving Duck.
Iron Falcon.
Ah, right. My mistake.
I shall write this on your tombstone, calls Granor. Then he storms towards you and the fight begins.
Would you like to hear the fighting tips again?
Yes.
When Granor swings from above, then it is only a feint. That's your chance. Act fast when he raises his sword. Granor suddenly takes two steps back and exposes his side to you. Do you want to attack his right leg or aim for his arm?
Attack his right leg.
Granor isn't fast enough. You are able to wound him. Exhausted, Granor lowers his sword for a moment. Do you want to attack or evade?
Evade.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Try it again.
Evade.
I still do not understand that. You have the following possibilities. Arm. Right leg.
Right leg? That's not what you asked me.
Granor isn't fast enough. You are
able
to wound him.
Is that a bug?
Granor suddenly takes two steps back and exposes his side to you. Do you want to attack his right leg or aim for his arm?
Arm.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand.
Okay, I think that's
Try
a
it again.
Little buggy. Repeat.
I still do not understand that. You have the following possibilities. Attack. Dodge.
Dodge.
You want to dodge, but Granor is expecting that. He follows your dodge and strikes, wounding you.
Ow.
Granor suddenly takes two steps back and exposes his side to you. Do you want to attack his right leg or aim for his arm?
Repeat.
You want to dodge, but Granor is expecting that.
Okay. Let
he follows
see
your dodge and
if...
strikes, wounding you. Granor twirls the blade several times, then suddenly strikes from the side. Do you want to dodge or attack?
Dodge. So that's how we have to do it.
You dance to the side. His cover breaks. You launch through for a counterattack, wounding him. Granor raises his sword as if to strike. Do you want to attack or evade?
Attack.
Your attack surprises him. You are able to wound him. Bleeding from numerous wounds, Granor suddenly goes to his knees. The sword falls from his powerless fingers as he lifts his head and looks at you.
The stone tablets. Aragosh, I warn the High Council,
moans Granor. He looks suddenly bewildered. In the middle of the sentence, he breaks off, looking at something behind you.
You, but...
He begins. His words fall short when a throwing star hisses past you and bores into his throat.
Ooh.
You will never find out what he meant to say. Granor falls dead at your feet. You turn to see a familiar figure. In his left hand, he holds several stone tablets tightly against his gray robe, his right hand still raised from the throw.
"That's right. Me," says Arendil.
A quick glance to you, then he turns and disappears hastily into the depths of the cave. You remain where you are in the darkness, wondering where the threads that determine your destiny lead, and who is actually pulling them. In this moment, you swear an oath to yourself. Regardless of what destiny has in mind for you, Iron Falcon will fly again.
Of all the players, you've been the most fun. You are the only one I ever said that to. Honestly. Thanks for playing Iron Falcon.
That was it? Wow. So, I've heard that there's multiple endings. But that was really kind of cool. I would love to play that again on my own time. So it's interesting. They say that the time was 60 to 90 minutes. All right, let me see what it said here. 70 to 90, and that was a short 70. That was more like 45. That was really fun, though. I have to say, I really enjoy that game. I assume that there's some other routes you can take. I hope. Because that's really cool. So that's Iron Falcon. Shadows of the Past. And obviously we're not going to play it again. Because why would we do that? It is a very interesting game. I would recommend that you check that out. You may have to enable it from the app store, you know, the Alexa skill store first. But it is a really fun little game, and I'm glad I got to share it with you guys. So next week is an interesting week for us. We are going to be on Main Menu. That's our plan. So there may not be a Poptail Weekly next week. But is okay. So stay tuned for news about Main Menu. There may, like I said, may not be one next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. And we'll be doing more skills. I do want to thank you guys for joining me. Please make sure you check out Poptail Social on Twitter. Find Poptail on Facebook. And big thanks to VoiceSpark for having Poptail Weekly. Make sure you check out VoiceSpark Live every Thursday night with Nick, Ben, and Emily, and other guests. So again, thank you guys so much for having me. It has been a pleasure. Make sure you visit poptale.com. It's poptale.com for more great skills. Find out what we're working on, and I will see you guys back here soon for another Poptail Weekly. Again, thank you for watching. It has been a lot of fun. And I will be back next time. Bye for now.